Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to The Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you. And it's Wednesday. It seems like the sun's coming out. Let's hope so. It's been rainy and sunny on the West Coast. And hope you're having a great day with a sunny day that brings out the clouds and the sunshine and whatever, so you can at least go outside and enjoy the sun, because the sun is a great source for healing the body, even if it's a virus or a disease. Very important, if you are not sensitive to the sun, go out and get 15 or 20 minutes of sunshine, great vitamin D source. And of course, vitamin D helps your immune system, as we all know. And welcome, welcome to Colombo Chronicles. We're here for you every Wednesday with special guests, experts, or authors, or both. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Jo Salido. She is a returning guest. She is a researcher and an investigator. And she has a wealth of information. So I thought we would talk about what is happening around the world and in America, because it's coming and is becoming a very small world indeed. And maybe Walt Disney had something when he created the ride at Disneyland. It's a small world, and it's getting smaller and smaller. So one of the issues of the day before our guest is with us on an interview is Market Insider. The six-eye popping estimates for U.S. jobless, just how much damage coronavirus is inflicting upon the economy. We are all concerned. Are we going to be homeless? Are we going to be standing in lines for a loaf of bread and a bottle of water? Are we going to be marked or microchipped like they're being in Venezuela and China? Are we going to be forced to be vaccinated with a nano microchip? What is this really all about? Is it really about the coronavirus? Let's kind of explore and find out. But I know that unemployment is on everybody's mind. Economists are predicting massive spike in United States weekly jobless claims this week amid coronavirus-induced layoffs. I know of a family member who has a restaurant, and they wanted her to do curbside, and it's a big family restaurant where people sit down and are served. Well, obviously, when everybody's told to stay at home, they aren't going to come out in numbers to pick up food from a former sit-down restaurant that now is serving pickup. So this particular person had to temporarily shut down the restaurant because the number of customers does not exceed the loss of profit all the employees and the utilities and food and everything else that needs to be paid for. And so she had to lay off 28 people who are now hoping to get unemployment. So that's just one restaurant. This is happening all over the country, and we're not hearing about it. Estimates range from 1 million to 4 million jobless claims for the week ending March 21st. That's unprecedented, I believe. The low end of that range would be more than threefold increase from last week's number. Threefold increase from last week's number. This is happening at a pace and a scale that our brains can't comprehend. Martha Gimbel, an economist at Schmidt Futures, told Business Insider in an interview. This is really serious. New U.S. labor market data set to be released this week will give an early indication of just how much the coronavirus pandemic is damaging the economy. On Thursday, weekly U.S. jobs claims data will be released for the week ending March 21st. Economists are anticipating that the report will show a massive increase in the number of people filing for unemployment insurance as the first wave of coronavirus-induced layoffs hit. This is unprecedented in the United States of America and around the world, I believe. I can be wrong about the rest of the world, but we have India, we have China, we have Africa, we have the Middle East. They all have over a billion people each. They're wall-to-wall people. They procreate. They overpopulate. And they're running out of land. They're running out of clean water. They're running out of clean coal. They have pollution in their water and in their streams and their oceans and their skies. And so, is this a depopulation program that's going on by the United Nations Agenda 21 and extended to 30 because they missed their mark? Reducing the population by 50% by 2021? Or is it part of the depopulation for 2050? Because according to Ted Turner, the number of people, the reduction of people on the planet reduced by 90%. What is this? What is really going on? Is it possible that the terrorists and jihadists inside the USA, who have stockpiled weapons all over the country in no-go zones, set up no-go zones under the Obama regime, where FBI and law enforcement and police and sheriffs, no one was allowed to go inside and see if they were stockpiling weapons or training up people? So we don't know what's really happening in this country, and if they're just trying to keep us safe from a possible caliphate, who the heck knows at this point? We're not getting all the information we need. On Thursday, weekly U.S. jobless claims data will be released for the week ending March 21st. Economists are anticipating that the report will show a massive increase in the number of people, filing for unemployment insurance as the first wave of coronavirus-induced layoffs hit. Estimates from major firms range from roughly 1 million to as much as 4 million jobless claims for a single week in March. Now, of course, people are scared and afraid. A number anywhere in that range would be a new record, surpassing the current peak spike of nearly 700,000 new unemployment claims added in 1 week in 1982. It would also be a more than threefold increase from claims filed previously for the week ending in March 14th. Jobless claims that jumped to 281,000, a two-year high, and far exceeded economists' estimates. A number of states specifically cited COVID-19-related layoffs, the Department of Labor wrote in last week's report. In addition, many states reported increased layoffs in service-related industries broadly, and a and the accommodation and food service industry is being hit hard specifically, as well as in the transportation and warehousing industry, whether COVID-19 was identified directly or not. You do know that the majority of people recovered, do you not? They're only giving us the cases and the deaths, but not the recovery. So is this sensationalism? Is it yellow journalism? Is it creating fear-mongering? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. The upcoming report is stated to show even further damage, as it will capture a week where states began to practice extreme social distancing measures and shut down schools, restaurants, workplaces to curb the spread of the virus. This is happening at a pace and a scale that our brains can't comprehend, Martha Gimbel said. So this is really, really serious. And, of course, Americans are very concerned about their jobs and the economy. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to invite my very special guest, Joe Salito, to join us on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right, be sure to bring your appetite, but it is temporarily shut down because of the coronavirus, and so it's important to know that it will reopen as soon as this lockdown or at-home stay is lifted in each state. So, and that is in Arizona. So this is going to happen all over the country.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Colombo Chronicles Live, and we have... our very special guest with us, Joe Salito. We had a little technical issue there. Joe Salito is an investigator. She's also a researcher. She's a return guest. She's very interesting, and she has a lot of information and input on a lot of topics that concern Americans and our nation. So, hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Rose, and you sound like you're doing well while we're all hunkering down.
We don't have a choice. But, Joe, there's so many issues going on that I think are of significance that people don't usually hear on the mainstream media or online because people fear talking about these issues. And they're very, very serious issues. As you know, and I know, because we've both been advocating for justice and helping victims of legal abuse for many, many years. And one of those issues that I think is important is the coronavirus, the COVID-19, and how Americans are being told to stay at home. But what I want to ask you is this. Whenever there is a flu season, 12,000 up to 650,000 people die around the country, depending on the strain and the country, who may not have clean water and medical supplies and respirators and good health, good hospitals and vitamins and all the things that people in America have access to. Until they started hoarding But bottom line is every country is different. And you know, like you have India, you have China, you have the Middle East, you have Africa. They're wall-to-wall people. They procreate, they overpopulate, and they run out of land. They run out of clean water. They run out of clean air. They run out of clean coal. And so it's different for every country, and we don't all have the same hygiene, and we don't all wash our hands, and we don't all use soap. So in America, I talked to my friend who worked for a congressman for many years, and he passed away, and she's retired now. But I had asked her while she was working for him, does the government require people who are entering into our country to go to a class and learn about hygiene, washing their hands, using soap, checking for health issues before they enter the country or even become citizens? And she said no. And we have 29.5 million non-citizens from all these foreign third world nations in our country. And so what do you think about that policy that doesn't require that foreigners sit down at a training class for 1 hour and sign a document that they will wash their hands, they will use soap, and that they've attended the class?
Well, just because they sign it doesn't mean they're going to do it, and they're going to sign it anyway just to fulfill it. But educating them, and I think for more than an hour, on multiple things that they can do, not only for sanitation, you know, but to help them become citizens, as we hope, with the cleanliness and being self-sufficient and so forth. And but they must be physically screened. I absolutely agree with that. You know, you've got too many coming into this country. They're going to keep coming as long as we allow them, which is up to this nation to decide who and when and how we allow them. But they do need to screen them. That's how you do create these kind of epidemics and pandemics. And when they go unscreened and they're afraid of not getting health care, you make health care available even on a minimal basis, they will get screened.
Well, actually, health care is available to mostly illegals and Muslims, because when it was inserted into Obamacare, that Americans are mandated to pick up the tab for all their living expenses, believe it or not, and for their Obamacare. They do not have to sign up, pay up, or be penalized, but only the Americans who do not sign up, pay up, are penalized, and the IRS tracks it if you have not signed up and paid up, and then they penalize you on your taxes. I don't even know if people are aware of that. And so we were lied to about Obamacare, because Obamacare was actually intended to go along with this coronavirus stimulus package that Pelosi came up with, protecting and funding illegals and Muslims and not so much the American people. And she has a whole slew of pork in there for illegals, for Muslims, for DACA dreamers, and also automatic citizenship and amnesty. And so here we are. They're telling us that this coronavirus requires all Americans to stay at home, and yet they have the borders open, and the Border Patrol is still letting people from down south come into the USA who say they're coming here to shop. Well, please explain to me, based on your knowledge as an investigator and researcher, how any of this makes any sense, that this coronavirus is punishing Americans, shutting all our businesses down mostly, and we're losing our jobs, we're losing our companies, and destroying the economy, while they're still allowing foreigners to enter into our country that are not inspected. They're just driving on through and spreading disease. And then we have foreigners from the Middle East who are in the news saying they don't believe in all of these sanitation rules and policies. So we have different cultures, we have different civilizations, we have different beliefs, and how on earth are we supposed to expect that the coronavirus will not spread if they're letting people into our country who don't know anything about our hygiene and our sanitation policies and washing your hands consistently and still coming into the borders? How insane is this?
It's unbelievable that it still happens in today's world. And, you know, the United Kingdom has a policy of screening people who come in. Now, granted, it's a mostly verbal, written screening of health, as well as they screen every plant and animal that comes into their country. And we need to be as diligent. Now, we can't do that so much with produce, but that gets into the shipping industry, so that's, you know, a whole other topic. But the people that do come here, you know, if we're going to allow them, and I pray that they just shut down the borders. We've got the Coast Guard patrolling the East and West Coast, the waterways. We need to shut down both borders. And during this epidemic in particular, you know, if we shut down our states and our communities, why in God's name would we not shut down our borders? It's a worldwide pandemic. You know, if they're coming from other countries, chances are they are infected with one thing or another.
Exactly. And so not only is this coronavirus a real setback for America and Americans and the great progress we were making with the prosperity under Trump, the Trump administration, but there's also an article in the Los Angeles Times that talks about the coronavirus and says that there are things to know about the coronavirus. And one of those issues that they say is that they're talking about Garcetti, who's the mayor, Mayor Eric Garcetti, is saying that the Los Angeles is 6 to 12 days away from becoming the next New York City, where there have been 14,905 confirmed cases and 192 deaths. And Los Angeles County so far has 670 cases and 11 deaths. And my point to you and my question is, they're talking about confirmed cases. There's lots of colds that are confirmed. There's lots of flus every day year that are confirmed, but the majority of people don't die in America. And so they're only giving you the confirmed cases and the deaths. Well, 12,000 to 650,000 people, depending on the flu strain and the access to the cures, die every year from the flu, some strain of the flu. And so I don't see how they're justifying that 670 cases of a flu, whether it's corona or anything else, because there's other flus that are this is flu season, so it's not just coronavirus. There's other flus out there that are happening. And so, and 11 deaths. Well, more people die from opioids and illicit drugs in Los Angeles than 11 deaths from coronavirus. So do you think this is sensationalism?
I think it is several things. I think it absolutely is sensationalism to an extent, but I also fear that it is by far absolute underreporting. I've spoken to people with contacts in Africa and other countries around the world, including the Philippines. I spoke to two people in the Philippines this morning and asked them how things were over there. I have a friend up in BC, Canada. you know, I've got friends all around who can confirm that this exists globally. And of course, you can go to YouTube and any number of sources throughout the internet that will show you this flu, the coronavirus, does exist and so forth. Although I do believe it's being downplayed. One of my connections, who is a very credible source, who has dealt with outbreaks like Ebola and so forth, he's a military member, he's a humanitarian. He sent me a letter that was sent to him dated March 21st from friends of his that he actually knows who are missionaries over in China. And they stated there are 500,000 plus deaths and more than millions infected with the coronavirus, not counting the regular influenzas that go around every year, like you mentioned. And so I really do think we're facing a health crisis. My point is
that we aren't even close to the level of people who die every year in America from the flu, influenza. More people die from the flu and influenza than the coronavirus so far. And my point is that there are cures, according to doctors, to at least help, you know, prevent it. Like they suggest you put 3 slices of lemon, pour hot water over it with honey, and sip on it all day long, and it helps you stay healthy, your immune system to stay healthy and beat it. But nobody's talking about these natural health products or foods and supplements that can help you keep your immune system and your family's immune system healthy, which my grandmother gave me when I was a child every time we had a cold or a flu, and homemade chicken soup with chicken broth, because there's something in that that apparently we don't know what it is that helps us stay healthy too. And so they're not giving this information out. They're just saying we have to wait until we can find a vaccination or we can find a prescription. And so then my point is, when we have a cold or a flu, we always stay at home. We can't go to work. They'll send you home from work. It's all common sense what they're telling us. So why are we on lockdown, which to me is very frightening, when that's what we do when we have any disease or any infection, period?
I agree. You know, it is very scary. I am scared. I've been living with cancer for 25 years, and I have some breathing problems, and all of this is a great inconvenience to try to stockpile my medicines in case things do become a much worse disaster than it already is. I, too, wonder, why are they building all these MASH hospitals? What's next, encampments? I don't know. Neither does anybody else.
Well, why did Obama buy up tons of FEMA trains? I mean, I called and verified that they were FEMA trains and using our tax dollars to purchase them. I saw them in California. I saw them in Nevada. I saw them in Arizona. I saw the communist army in uniform marching through the Tucson, Arizona airport. Everybody was in shock, asking what's going on. Nobody knew, of course. And then I saw in about 2010 or 11 in San Francisco, there was a Russian ship, naval ship, and there was two communist Chinese naval ships with missiles pointing. And people were like, oh, look at that, you know, and I'm like, what are they doing in our waters? Why are they docked here? What happened to the laws on international water? Why are they in uniform? If you go back and you follow, like I did, the plastic containers that they were stockpiling, Georgia buying guillotines, and those are stockpiled, migrating terrorists and releasing them from Gitmo and the prisons and felons and cartels and gangs, which they're still doing, I find it to be very suspect and disturbing.
It is suspect. And, you know, that's why we need people like you and me and everyone out there keeping their eyes on what is happening in this country. I have no idea what to think, what's going on. You know, I've told people, is all the world a stage? Is this a setup? Is this the some world military game? Is it really a pandemic that is truly going
how
to
harm? How do we even know? How do we know this many people are actually hospitalized because you can't go to a hospital? You can't even go to a clinic. I called my doctor, and she said, I don't want you to come in. We have to do. I have to tell you what to do over the phone, which is fine with me. It wasn't major, but, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. I just wanted to find out, you know, what it was or what to do. And so it was a spider bite. So,
well, that's very serious.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, not as serious as other people's problems, you know. And so I was like, that was fine with me that we did the consultation over the phone, and she told me what to do. And so, but the thing is that we're not allowed to go there. We're not allowed to go into assisted living where all the elderly are. And they just found it, I think it was in the UK, I don't think it was in the US, I think it was in the UK, where all the patients, the elderly patients, they found them all dead. Now, this doesn't make sense to me.
When was that you're referring to? What was
just,
the date?
It was just in the news today. I saw it on one of the sites. And they had
wow.
a picture of it in the whole story. I should have saved it. I try to save as much as possible, but it's impossible. And so, but these things are disturbing me because, first of all, they're killing off all the natural-born American babies. And through Planned Parenthood, which is a Hitler program. And not only during birth, during pregnancy, but at birth and after birth, how is that not murder?
Mm-hmm.
And they're justifying mm-hmm. by calling it
doctor
an abortion because
doctor.
Some doctor has an MD by his name.
My philosophy is God creates, God takes. That's it.
But God isn't taking. It's people who have MDs by their name and business people who own Planned Parenthood are funded, and we're forced to fund, kill off our future natural-born Americans who are needed to preserve America, or we don't have an America. We have a foreign nation of immigrants who were not born on this soil and who overpopulate, and God bless them, but we need quotas. And we don't need people who are illegally in our country.
Illegally in our country is the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems in this entire nation, and it has to
stop. No other country allows it. No other country allows it. You go to Mexico,
no,
they'll throw
don't.
You in jail. You go to any
That's
other
right.
country,
they'll
we'll either shoot you or
border.
Throw you in a hellhole and forget about you.
Or throw you back over the border. Sink
yeah.
or swim.
So this is all very suspect, and this is why American people are fearful of why are we being locked down. We always stay home when we have a cold, a disease, a flu. I mean, forever we've done this. We know they send you home from school. They send you home from work. You can't come near us. You have a cough. Go home. So, I mean, so why do we have to be patrolled? I don't see people in my neighborhood going out and fighting, you know what I mean, and creating civil unrest. They're just, you know, saying, okay, we can cooperate, but why do we have to have patrols and why do we have to have lockdowns? And they're saying, don't call it a lockdown, call it an at-home stay. We don't need public servants to tell us to stay home because we have a flu.
That's true. That's true.
We're adults.
You know,
we know that. We're going to keep our kids home.
Look, in Italy, they seem to – I've not seen, you know, stories of unrest over in Italy. They seem very willing to stay home and conquer this.
Exactly. People have common
and
sense.
You know, and you know what bothers me, speaking of common sense? Yesterday, before I headed out to get some prescription medicines, let alone that I had to go to base, a military base hospital, to get them, which was intimidating. But the most ironic thing, to me, it is common sense and necessary, is why are they not making the government, you know, the government making the people wear face masks in public? It is spread when we open our mouths. You know, yes, it can spread through other bodily fluids, but the majority is every time we open our mouths and speak, little particles come out, and that's how it's being spread. They're telling you to wash your hands. When I called the news channel that I typically watch here in Florida, which is Channel 4 News in Jacksonville, at the news desk, I asked them, I said, why are you not making it mandatory and being the representatives whose faces we're seeing day and night wearing face masks? I had my face mask on. I had my protective eyewear, which was safety glasses with foam inserts to stop particles going into the eyes, you know, mucous membranes, eyes, ears, mouth, and
but
nose.
We should, I mean, if we're going to go to those extremes, we should just do it 24/7, because there are viruses out there. There are flus that every year. There's colds, there's flus, there's diseases, you know, there's so many of them that we would have to do that 24/7. My point is, if people are staying at home and they're taking all of these natural foods and supplements that help build up the immune system, most people don't have it.
I agree.
Most people,
and
we don't know what the numbers are. We don't really know what the numbers are. We're only taking the word of MSM and the government because we don't really know. I mean, we aren't allowed to go outside hardly. So we're only, you know, you can't go to visit an elderly person in assisted living or in a hospital or anybody in a hospital. So my point is we don't know we only know what they're telling us.
Exactly. I don't believe
we have no proof. We have no proof.
The only proof
I can tell you, 10,000 people died in L.A. and, you know, blasted all over the internet. And you know, a lot of people would believe that.
Well, that's true. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the problem with media. Whether it's the truth or not, you will always have skeptics and you will always have believers. And so, but if we look at, I find YouTube, because those are people's stories, and I do not believe everything on YouTube is fabricated. There are many things on there that I think it's very easy to decipher that these are genuine. I saw a video from a lady, Chinese lady, allegedly in Wuhan, and she was screaming and frantic. I don't believe it was an acting job. The translation in English was stating that the government was covering things up and that it was much worse than what they're saying. So
you just triggered me, because how do we know they aren't taking people away to harvest their organs? Because that's what they're doing with the babies.
They are using
them as human commodities. They're using them as human commodities for profit, as human capital to fund Planned Parenthood, to keep it up, forcing Americans to pay for this assembly line of sentencing little babies to death at birth, after birth, and they're selling their body parts. And it's like draconian. It's so people should be leery and ask questions and not believe everything they're hearing.
I agree. And it goes back to what you mentioned earlier about taking vitamins and nutrients, things that are good for us, is we need to reinitiate that kind of lifestyle. I grew up in the mountains where we were self-sufficient almost entirely. literally. We had outhouses. We had gardens. We canned and prepared for the winter. We shared with people in the community. You know, if we had an excess of this item, we'd give it to others and so forth.
That's what they did.
And,
yeah.
And
that's how America was. And you know what?
That's right.
And you know what, though? When they started all of these fast foods and boxed prepared foods with all these chemicals, and they start putting hormones and everything else into the milk and the animals. Look what's happened. I mean, you can take from that time that we were go out in the yard and pick fruit off the tree and rinse it with the hose and eat it. Sometimes we didn't even rinse it and just eat it off fresh off the vine. I mean, this is how we grew up. But now all these kids have, millennials have grown up on fast food filled with chemicals and preservatives and who knows what else they're putting in that food.
Well, that was one of the things. You know, I got a call last week from Congressman Soto's office inviting me to a town hall meeting by telephone the next day. He's not even my representative, so he got my number from one of my representatives, I'm assuming. I put together this list of things. I didn't have any questions, per se, because I knew lots of people had all the general bases covered. But I put together a list of 10 items that we should be doing. Some of that, of course, is implementing home gardening, patio gardening, balconies, porches, hanging baskets, rain barrels, mandatory composting of plant-based food waste, not animal waste, and stop growing animals. Emphasis on the word growing. These animals aren't born and raised naturally. They have many growth promoters that are all chemicals and that all you are what you eat. Remember that, folks. I stopped eating meat January of 1992, and I am definitely healthy and healthier. Even though I'm a cancer patient, I'm living 25 years with cancer and doing very well, other than the one medicine that manages the symptoms because it's a hormone-secreting tumor. But my doctors are like, you know, how's your cholesterol level so good? Because they don't eat meat. Cholesterol only comes from animals. And when these animals, first off, they're triggering these flu outbreaks, swine flus, avian flus. It doesn't matter that it comes from perhaps other wildlife. It's going into the agricultural animals that people eat and then being transmitted to the humans. And it is cruel. It is cruel to those animals. It is unhealthy, unsanitary. If we took all the grains that are being fed to those animals that are grown, we could feed the world and stop hunger.
Yeah, well, you know, Joe, Bill Clinton and Hillary were all into outsourcing to communist China our food, we didn't even know our prescriptions and our vaccines and our R&D were outsourced to communist China and in control of all of that. And they're an enemy of the USA. I stated that one time, and they said, oh, some businessmen got upset because I said, communism is an enemy of the USA. They are not our friend, and neither is socialism. And I'm not talking about the citizens. The citizens are victims of their tyrannical leaders. And so the citizens are just, they don't have a choice. I'm talking about the communist leaders who have filthy conditions, and they don't have the same quality control that America had. They outsource our food over to them, and then we get rice that has lead in it, all these different products that can harm us or kill us. And so now they have control over the food. They have control over the prescriptions, the R&D, the vaccinations, everything. And they want us to get vaccinated?
I don't do the vaccines.
No,
first
but
off,
they are going to try to, from what an opinion, it appears that they could try to mandate them because in Obamacare is inserted mandated taxpayer-funded abortions for Americans and worldwide for poor third world countries to poor parents under the guise of reducing poverty. And so we're paying for not just our own children, future natural-born Americans to be wiped out, like 70 million plus, 345,000 in 2019, and we're paying worldwide to implement the same program of Planned Parenthood in third world nations that and requiring Americans to pick up the tab, as well as mandated taxpayer-funded microchips and mandated taxpayer-funded vaccines are inserted into Obamacare, which the majority of Americans don't even know.
They don't want to know either, sad to say. Most people feel like their voice doesn't matter and they don't care. You know, one of the things that I have been thinking about through all of this pandemic is, you know, the Industrial Revolution, which originally began in Europe and then extended over to the United States in the 1700s, 1800s, and then in the latter 1800s and into the 1900s, it was the United States and extending over to Europe and some other countries. And it created also the me generation, me, 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 what I want, no matter what the consequences, how much it costs, or any considerations. Now, if this, what we have to do is become the we generation. And you can quote me on that. That's my little quote.
I like that a lot. I like that. No, that's
I
a really good point. Yeah.
Because that's
and
what
you
we
know,
need to do.
And what they're not understanding is now we're at a point here because they didn't want to know the truth because it scares them or they're afraid, you know, that, you know, they're going to get removed from Facebook or Twitter. But that's suppression of the press. That's suppression of freedom of speech. That's what America's all about. And when you suppress the truth, this is what you get. You get unknown facts. Okay, you got 10,000 cases and 5 people died. Oh, my God, it's sensational. When up to 12,000 to 650,000 people die every year because of the flu. Thousands and thousands of people die of opioids, overdoses, suicides every single day. But this appears to be, to me anyway, suspect based on the way they're stating it without recoveries, without including the recoveries, and without our knowledge of actually how many people are in the hospitals actually dying. And we're only taking their word for it because we're not allowed to go visit a family member or a friend in the hospital. And so this is affecting our economy, which could bankrupt America. And if they bring everybody down to their knees, that means no more middle class. That means the greatest depression you will ever see with ushering in a one world leader, in my opinion, that rules with an iron fist. And it says U.S. stocks tanked over the 6-week period as the coronavirus pandemic intensified and an oil market struggle between Saudi Arabia and Russia fueled additional volatility. Equities slid into the first bear market in 11 years by March 20th, and the S&P 500 sat roughly 30% from its February 19 peak. So the largest seller was Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, according to the journal, who offloaded 3.4 million in company shares. So all these people who own these big companies were selling off their own shares, and a lot of congressional members, for some reason, were selling off shares right before the coronavirus hit. So that's another reason why I'm asking, how did these people know that this crisis was going to hit? Because Bill Gates was talking about a pandemic on video in 2014 and reducing the population because of the carbon footprint and that we needed to reduce the population of the people on the planet. And he's talking about these vaccinations and for years and a pandemic for years. He said that was his greatest fear. And then we have 1981 book by Dean Koontz, Eyes of Darkness, I think is the name. 1981, he mentions the Wuhan coronavirus in his book.
When it was republished, that they changed it to Wuhan. And,
I'm telling you that
it was predicted, and a lot of our writers do predict our future.
Yeah,
and
they do.
Who knows?
Including the Bible.
We're
seeing this high unemployment rate that is going to be unsustainable because Los Angeles is already predicting that we're going to be wiped out of our surplus if this continues much longer. Can you imagine the chaos and the crisis and the civil unrest when people get hungry and they don't have jobs and can't feed their kids? This is my point.
I can. That's why I came up with not a question for Congressman Soto, but a list of items and what the effect was. You know, and I still wonder, you know, first off, nobody knows and can really say exactly where this started. It goes to, we know what the media tells us and nothing more. And, you know, they're blaming some poor schlub in Wuhan in a wet market, you know, making a living. We don't know. But that aside, obviously something is unfolding before us and we are participants, and our roles have yet to be defined except in the ways that our government is shifting things. I think they're shifting the educational process, the work process, because those can be done at home now. I predict they might, actually on the news here, they were going to, in Duval County, I don't know about in Clay County, but in Duval County, and I'm sure it's elsewhere, they're going to deliver 1 to 2 laptops and Chromebooks and tablets to people's homes. I'm predicting that they're going to give everybody, every home, a cell phone with Wi-Fi hotspot, laptop and or tablets, and that they are not transferable and have GPS location within them so that it goes to your address, which means you can't sell it, you can't give it to somebody. You have to use it or not, but it is, you know, restricted that way. And I think they're going to give them over-the-air antennas if they want TV, unlimited video streaming. You know, they have the means to keep the masses at home. They have the means to take the prison population, turn them into workers, which I actually think is a really good idea for prison reform, especially for nonviolent offenders. You know, in Judaism,
yeah, but not when it comes to the point where you're prejudiced and you're sticking minorities into prison so that they can work for 25 cents an hour for wealthy people.
Well, no, I agree. But I think they can work and learn a career, have good orderly direction in their lives.
But what's happening, though, this is communism. This is socialism. This is communism. This is forcing people to stay in their homes, work from home, and do what the government tells you to do and spy on you and tell you what you can and cannot say or do.
What is our alternative, Rose? Revolution.
Well, that's probably what they fear.
Well, I'm sure they do. You know, I would like to see them make open carry laws with ID cards for nonviolent offenders. You know, when you have open carry laws, number one, it decreases crime in those states and cities because the criminal knows you can shoot them back.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, though, that they have migrated millions of unidentified people from foreign third world nations, many of them who are here to dominate us. Their written and stated strategic goal is to invade, infiltrate, overpopulate, which they do in their own countries, and dominate and conquer Europe and America and all of Western civilization. And that is a communist and a Muslim brotherhood agenda that's written and stated and published. And so anybody can go and check it out. And there's a book called The Project, and they can read that. And so the bottom line is that they are depopulating the natural-born Americans to make room for the people who overpopulate from third-world countries, and then they're making the middle class poor, and they're putting small businesses out of business, while communist China owns Costco, the biggest discount store in the whole country, and Walmart, Walmart sells mostly products from communist China, and they were all involved with the Clintons at the time that Bill Clinton was opening the Long Beach port and the Long Beach naval base and outsourcing technology jobs, and which I believe, in my opinion, and appeared to be espionage to me, returned into outsourcing. They changed it to outsourcing, like when Hillary stole all the emails and Comey changed it to from espionage to alleged espionage to extremely carelessness. So we're being manipulated.
Yes, we are. And, you know, I think we're all on this carnival ride for a while. I don't think as a united people, we can really grasp and figure out how to overcome it at this time. I do think people are being manipulated into a different educational and work process, as well as occupying their time while they're on lockdown and self-quarantining. You know, and they're, because they're not, at least in my area, because I've been focused on my local news more than, you know, where you are, because this is what impacts me. And so what I'm seeing around here, our governor, and difference between the local mayor, which is in another county, not my mayor, my county, they're doing nothing, next to nothing. No testing in my county at all, which I find horrendous. And we've got three hospitals very close to the most populous areas where I live in Clay County, Florida. It is a rural community mostly. But a very populated section called Orange Park and Fleming Island is adjacent to Jacksonville, which is Duval County, which is where Mayor Lenny Curry is. And he's mandating people self-quarantining and restricting travel and so forth, because we've got Jacksonville International Airport, and we've got multiple military bases all around here. Some of the largest military populations. We've got Naval Air Station Jacksonville, which I was on yesterday. And interestingly, not to digress, when I was on base yesterday, well, I called over thinking, okay, there's this, you know, apocalyptic pandemic crisis going on. And I'm thinking as I go out, and I recorded my whole excursion out yesterday, because this is how many weeks in and so forth, and you know, I was just going to play a little investigative journalist and document it, my journey. And I was expecting not very much traffic. And overall, there's not a lot of traffic. But there was a lot more than I expected. And of all things, I can see live camera footage on my TV right now of a testing station in downtown Jacksonville, and it shows the highways. So I do know Jacksonville, which is Duval County. Jacksonville is the largest U.S. city by square mileage, not by population, but by square mileage. And you can see the lines of people going to, they have two testing sites. One is a government, federal government testing site down at TIAA Stadium. And another one is by one of the hospitals, Ascension, St. Vincent's. And Ascension has hospitals all over the United States. And I don't trust our medical industry for multiple reasons, but that's for another day,
yeah,
another topic.
Show.
Yes. So if you got cases popping up, why aren't you doing testing? You can take these little docs in the box. That's what we call them, doc in the box. You know, you got like nurse practitioners and a doctor has to oversee it. But, you know, people can go to instead of going to the emergency room. You've got pharmacies where, you know, they do cholesterol testing, blood pressure testing. And
yeah, but beyond all that, we know when our bodies are sick. We know when we're getting a flu. We know when we don't feel good. We know when we're getting a cold. And so they're treating us like we're children and we're stupid, and we shouldn't ask any questions. We should just believe everything they're telling us. And I'm saying people should do their homework, their research, and think about, why are we being isolated like this? Why are we on lockdown? We already know what to do all of our lives, and our grandparents and great-grandparents did the same thing, isolated your family. You told your family, don't come near me, I have a cold, I have a cough, I have flu, whatever it was. And hospitals do it, schools do it, employers do it. So we're being treated like we're all their children, and that we have to do as they tell us or else we're going to be punished. And we are being punished right now.
Yeah.
And we are being
yeah.
treated by children. And we're being told we're going to lose our businesses. We're going to lose our jobs. It's going to be catastrophic if this isn't resolved immediately, like within the next couple of weeks, because they cannot justify, unless they rack up more numbers from somewhere, like they do our like they do money, and they just print it out. They never run out of ink when they want more money.
No, they won't run out of
and,
paper or ink. It's like every country,
no.
They print up however much
yeah,
money they want.
Yeah, their printing press never breaks down. So
no,
the bottom line
not.
Is they treat our money like it's their money. They treat us like they're the government when we're the government. We are their employers. They are employees. They are public servants. They're elected temporarily, but they refuse to pass term limits. They stay there until they die. They take pensions. They take benefits. And I read that even in this coronavirus bill, it had nothing to do with coronavirus. They have funding for illegals, for DACA, for amnesty, citizenship, Muslims, living expense, all this money for them, all these foreigners who came to our country, very little for Americans. A $25 million raise for all congressional members across the board. They have all these things going on that Pelosi's bill had. Hopefully it's been removed. It was a ton of pork for illegals, Muslims, Congress, and the big bankers, Federal Reserve, et cetera, and very little for the American people who are told, you're lucky, we're going to give you your money back at $1,200 a month. And that may not pay your rent, but, you know, you better figure it out. Which means more people, if they don't figure this out themselves really quick, more people are going to be out of business, more people are going to be out of work, and they're not going to have the money to pay everybody unemployment in every state, and more people are going to end up committing suicide. There's going to be more crime, more civil unrest if this doesn't get resolved. This is insane. This is crazy. And the flu is going to pass, so they're going to destroy the economy because all flus pass. It's seasonal. And, you know, I suggest everybody put 3 slices of lemon in a cup, hot water, honey, and tea if they want, dandelion, turmeric tea. Yeah, vitamin C, vitamin D. Take care of yourself like you would for any flu. Yes, exactly. Do your research. Do your homework.
There are a lot of people who don't know these things that you and I know. I know you've studied health and nutrition.
That's why I'm telling them.
So would I. That's right. But a lot of people don't know about your show necessarily, like the middle and lower class folks in particular. And, you know, so I think in, you know, bills, Congress needs to put in there for people to be taught these things in schools and to be given vitamins and nutrients. Give them seeds to plant their own crops in, whether it's a, you know, a
little
yard.
Well, they're trying to take them away, not give it to them. They've been trying to take it away, not give it to them. You can hardly find seeds anymore. I mean, seriously, to grow fruits and vegetables?
What I do is I save seeds from the foods that I buy and consume for future use. I swear to God, I do that. And people look at me like, why are you saving those? I'm like, for future use. And,
but this is so serious, though. I mean, this is so serious because if they do not bring this to an end in a couple of weeks, or now they're saying 21 days, that's three more weeks, I'm telling you, there's going to be the results are not going to be good, and people are going to be kicked out of their homes eventually. They're going to be evicted. I mean, this is not going to be good. And you're going to see, remember the housing crisis? Remember the housing crisis when they shut down all the businesses and you drive down the street and we had the malls were empty and the businesses were shut down? Remember that?
Yes, and the houses were boarded up and, you know, I don't know where people went other than homeless. And you know what? California and Florida, you're in California, I'm in Florida, and they have the largest homeless populations because of the good climate. That's why they're in these states, more specifically, all year round. You got good climate, other than the hurricanes or the fires or the earthquakes. But, you know, and they are a very vulnerable population who can spread diseases. You know, and when these homeless people go to these food bridges, or the poor people who go to food bridges, they are highly susceptible due to being homeless, poor hygiene, poor nutrition. It needs to be mandatory that they, during flu season in particular, give them masks, even a neckerchief, you know, folded. You can get two for a dollar at Dollar Tree. Folded in half, tied around your head, cover your nose and mouth. That prevents contamination. Give them a little bottle of sanitizer. It lasts a good long time. And a pair
but you got a lot of people
gloves.
On drugs who have fried their brains, too, and they're not going to do anything. I mean, they're just
out there.
You see them singing and dancing and angry and everything else.
I agree, but I've been at the food bridges. And I see here in my community the folks who utilize them. And you're right, there are drug addicts and alcoholics. You know, I think that they need to lock down the liquor, okay, on beer and wine, but rationing it so you don't have all the alcoholics, you don't have the domestic violence, you don't have the DUIs, the car accidents, the injuries. If this coronavirus is real, and at this point in time, I'm believing that it is, and preparing as if it is, if it turns out to be a big old world.
I believe it's real. Don't get me wrong. I believe it's real. I believe there's a patent. I believe it was man-made. I believe that it was man-made in a lab. I don't know if it was Canada, USA, and a Chinese spy smuggled it over to China. But I do believe it's real.
I don't even know if it started in China. Who knows?
Yeah, but my point is that we have to question the number of cases they're reporting versus the number of deaths and leaving out the recoveries.
See, that's one of the things that has puzzled me. They'll list those infected, those that died, and those that have recovered. Where's the other big group? What are they? Where are they? What are they?
They don't want to do that because it's large. It's huge. The recoveries are huge, like every year in the flu. You don't see people dying left and right. It's worldwide they die.
Now, I know our doctors can be equally
look,
manipulated.
Look, was HIV, AIDS a pandemic? No, they did not call it out as a pandemic. They didn't even call it out as a communicable disease. Millions of people died. Millions. And they're still dying today. Nobody says a word about
it. They're living with the disease nowadays versus dying.
And they never came up with a cure for it, and they're still dying.
Well, that's true, but, thank God treatment has gotten better, and they can live longer and healthier lives.
Yeah, but there's still no,
lifestyle habits, which we need to teach people healthy lifestyle habits.
My point was, though, that when it hit, nobody called out a pandemic, an epidemic. Nobody locked anybody down. In fact, you got sued if you owned a salon. I owned a spa at the time, and you didn't, do their nails or feet or, pedicures and all this. If the girls refused, you could get sued. So, they didn't shut down all the businesses. They didn't do anything, So, that's just one. There was Ebola.
Correct.
They didn't shut down anything. There was Hong Kong flu. They didn't shut us down.
Ebola over in different strains of Ebola do, have different devastating effects.
Well, there's different strains of corona.
Absolutely. My thing is, living here in a hurricane state, we're coming up in a little over 2 months in hurricane season, so I have my hurricane preparedness kit, and God willing, we will not have, we'll have a very mild season, but it's already started very hot too early, so that's a little intimidating. But anyway, I keep preparing for what I foresee as a potential future if this pandemic, I'm going to use the term that's being called, if this pandemic continues in waves, nonstop. The part about this is, allegedly, is putting, it gets in our lungs and it stays in there and ravages the lungs. I've seen the CTs, assuming that those are legitimate CTs, the damage
and
that
that's
does
why you
to
have
lungs.
To keep sipping on hot tea during the day,
I agree with
room temperature liquid, so that your throat doesn't get dry.
I agree.
What the doctor said anyway. The doctors that I've checked out, they've all said, keep sipping on something all day long so that your throat doesn't get dry.
Absolutely. Water is the life force of the universe. They're showing on TV, China starts to lift restrictions.
Here it says that the CDC estimates that as many as 56,000 people die from the flu or a flu-like illness each year here in the USA.
Absolutely. Every year.
So why are we locked down?
I don't know. I agree. Why when I went on base yesterday, did nobody, other than the ladies at the entrance to the Naval Hospital, why were nobody wearing face masks? Why was it still business as usual? I called the quarter deck to see. I was anticipating the base would be, on lockdown, because a week and a half ago they were saying there were 18 or 19 people from NAS JAX who had been diagnosed with the coronavirus. They just showed earlier on the news screen on my TV here, today, a retiree dependent, which is what I am, tested positive at the Naval Hospital for the coronavirus. I was just there yesterday. That was scary. I didn't even want to go there, but I did because, again, my pain patch, which was not available in the regular pharmacies, and they had no idea when they were going to get them because of the coronavirus. So why are all of a sudden pain patches not available when they were a week or so ago?
Well, it was Governor Cuomo who denied 16,000 respirators that were ready to be purchased in New York in 2015 in case of a pandemic, in case of an emergency, and he denied them. So, I mean, so you got all these people who are in charge. One person can make a big difference on taking down, you know, the healthcare system.
That impacts many people's lives. That's right. And we
that impact,
you know,
our lives, yeah.
You know, on my way home, well, first off, the fact that nobody on base had face masks really, 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 really surprised me. And I was flabbergasted. I told the guy at the quarterdeck, I asked him, and I've been asking people, are you wearing a face mask? And he goes, no. And I said, why not? I said, aren't you aware there were at least 18 or 19 people that tested positive for the coronavirus? I said, we're in the middle of an alleged pandemic, and your CO and the CO of the base are not implementing these kind of precautions. I assume that if there's, for every one that's infected, there's at least 1,000 more people, minimum. If not,
well,
10,000.
What I'd like to know is, okay, so they're going through and they're saying, you know, here's New York, here's Seattle, here's California, here's the number of confirmed cases, here's the number of 100 of the deaths. And so we don't know if those confirmed cases are still current, if those people are, you know, are out of quarantine and they're okay. Do you know what I'm saying? There's not enough information, and it's, to me, it's sensationalizing because we don't have the real facts and data, and we don't know the age. We don't know the pre-existing conditions of that person. We don't know if they had another disease, respiratory problems, asthma. We don't know anything about them, weak immune systems. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't know if they were drug addicts, and got sick from a needle. We have no idea who these people are.
And we never do. That's just a fact of life in this world. And, you know, our government is controlling our media just as much as it does in other countries, although we do not suppress as much the citizens the way they do in China when it comes to media publications and YouTube videos and things like that. But that's not to say that they're not gearing towards that.
Yeah, it's scary. That's the scary part.
It is, one thing, several things I have found odd through all of this. When I lived up north, before I ever came down south and pre-internet era, I was always reading the paper, and I would always go through, I'm an analyst, and I go through and I would read the local news, I'd read the nationwide news, and world news, and I just had a habit of going through highlighting and underlining articles, and I'd pull out certain ones and stick them in file boxes and save them. And over the months and years, you would see trends. And I was very much, I'm sure, considered a conspiracy theorist, but I had friends who seemed to have credible videos, things like Waco and when the government used the tanks with flamethrowers against its citizens, which are not supposed to be allowed to do, blah, 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 blah. What happened with Randy Weaver and so forth and so on. You know, we can talk about those kind of things all over the place, but, you know, common folks don't pay attention to those things either.
I truly believe that they should be giving more information instead of scaring people with these numbers state by state. I think they should be giving more information about how to care for yourself, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The upper middle class who researches all this stuff, but to the people who are more apt not to research, not to read, they need to really push this information that these are the things you need to do for you and your family. And,
yeah.
Sanitize
your hands. You know, stop being around people who are sick. Things that are supposed to be common sense. a lot of people just don't have that. When I called the news station before I went out yesterday to say, why are you not telling people to wear their mask? And she's like, well, we are. And I'm like, no, you're not, because I'm watching the same station that you're working for, and all they're talking about is washing your hands. So if it's passed because of people's particles from their mouths, then cover them. I wear a face mask every flu season regardless, and I don't get sick with colds and flus, by the way. You know,
look, I've never worn one, and thank God I've done what my grandmother told me to do.
Because of having a cancer patient.
And I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. People have different health issues, and so people need to be careful. No matter if you have a health issue or not, and you have a strong immune system, you still need to be careful.
Because anybody can
infect somebody else. But to sensationalize this is really scary to me, because they got 823 people, the death toll today. And there's 60,000 confirmed cases. Okay, there's 60,000 confirmed cases, but how many recovered? How many have gone home? How many are out of quarantine? You know, how many recovered? We don't know. What are their age groups?
No, we don't.
You know, we don't know any other information. And that's to me is fear-mongering, and I just really believe that they need to provide more information on people taking care of themselves and being careful and taking care of their families, following, the regular guidelines that if you had a cold, you would do the same thing, stay home, stay out of school,
hygiene,
stay off work.
That's right. Stop putting chemical
sanitize.
And processed foods in your body. Yes, we do need to teach people that. I was taught health classes in elementary school. I believe it was the fourth grade is when it started. And that's a good age for teaching. Although, I learned from my family and my great grandparents and so forth equally. We need to be a socially conscious world. And not this me generation and being the we generation and looking out for ourselves and our families. And while these kids are at home, home ec and industrial arts could be teaching these kids to create things, home gardening projects, home canning projects, how to can. Learn how to can foods. If you're going to grow them, learn how to can them. Because if those excess, if you don't want to give them away, you don't want to waste them, can them for gosh sake. And they last a really long time. Take your vitamins. Send the people vitamins if you're concerned about them. Send them. At my doctor's office, when I went to pick up my prescription to go get it filled, my friend, well, they are my friends in there, but she was stating that, she was really angry because the media is telling the citizens if they have symptoms, go to their doctors. But the doctors don't have any test kits. So,
But they tell you not to go to your doctor. I just told you. They said don't come in here, because we don't want you to catch anything.
They're contradicting themselves. They're saying, protect our healthcare workers, which we do have to do, and we have to start retraining people. If this is as deadly as they project, or even if it's not as deadly, but if as many people end up debilitated, that includes our healthcare workers and our first responders. We need to be training people for their replacements on an urgent basis. I see the shift happening where people are going to perhaps change their field of endeavor and go into immediate job needs training due to their loss of jobs as whatever.
But I don't trust some of these foreigners they brought to our country to work in healthcare. I'm sorry, but some of these unidentified foreigners that weren't trained in America, don't have the same hygiene, because a few years ago I read where some of them were saying they were not going to wash their hands, with soap and water. Some of them don't believe in using soap. So So it's pretty scary.
We have responsibilities as patients. We have responsibilities as patients because I've been living with cancer for 25 years plus. When I go to medical appointments, or God forbid I'm in a hospital or having any medical tests done, I am very germ conscientious, meaning I don't want their germs, and if I had germs, I didn't want to give it to them to pass on to somebody else. And so there are hygiene protocols that have to go into place, and people need to learn to speak up and tell their doctors. I went through this as a caregiver for an 82-year-old friend of mine who was diagnosed with breast cancer last year, and I helped her through that journey and through the surgery and the rehab and so forth, and the complications. And the complications came because of poor healthcare workers that were American healthcare workers, by the way. You know, the thing about the Naval Hospital Jacksonville is it's a residency training hospital. When my husband and I moved here, God rest his soul, because he died due to military medical neglect, but that's another topic for another day. But at this hospital, being a residency training hospital, I can tell you how what the curriculum is that those doctors are trained for. And, you know, I was warned about military doctors. Now, I had some that were really good, but I had a lot that were really bad. I had healthy organs taken out of me, and then they covered up. They went in three times for the same tumor.
Yeah, I understand all that. Yeah, I mean, I understand how all that happens because more people die from hospital errors.
Yes, they do. And you and I did a show on that a few years ago. And, you know, so they're not held accountable for their medical errors. It's poor quality. You know, there are some countries that do produce really top medical personnel.
Yeah, they do. I'm not saying all of them, but there are some countries, third world countries, who do not have the same standards we have when it comes to hygiene for a fact. And some of them hate us. And then we have to worry about if some of them hate women. You know what I mean? And so, or Americans or Christians or Jews. I mean, this is very serious when you look at the whole picture.
It is. You know, I've been treated differently by Arab and Pakistani doctors, ones who come from those countries, because of their religious laws.
Right.
And it makes a difference. And you're right about their attitudes towards Americans. And I think that stands, you know, without, you know.
Well, I think it's pretty scary considering their deep-seated beliefs, and then they, you know, and then some American or a Christian or a Jew's life is in their hands. I mean, I'm sure there's some really good ones, but how do you know the difference, you know? And then
I've been a chronic patient for so many years. I've been a patient advocate for many years.
But you can't always know the difference. I mean, people were working with the people in San Bernardino, and they were their colleagues giving them a baby shower, being kind and nice to them, and what did they do? You know what I mean? So you don't know. Nobody knows.
The average person does not. The average person that goes into a hospital, whether they're medically knowledgeable or not, if they go in and they come out, they're happy. They didn't die, you know, plain and simple. And that's the truth, you know.
Yeah, that's funny,
I have had the worst medical care in civilian and military hospitals. I've had some really good care, but the really good care has been really small. Tragic horror stories that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that on another show, I know. But there's one thing I wanted to mention to you, Joe, before we go. The reason I'm suspect is because. Are they using the coronavirus to redesign America and change and transform it, which is what Obama's goal was and Michelle's goal?
That is my belief.
Because if you say Pelosi's coronavirus plan up to $1 billion for sanctuary cities, and then she has more billions for Muslims and for radical, illegals, for DACA illegals in our country, all these people. She has tons of money, and She wants to grant funding for sanctuary cities that shield criminal illegal aliens from arrest and deportation. I mean, it goes on and on and on. A nationwide mandate for ballot harvesting, $300 million for foreign refugees abroad, an automatic visa extension for all foreign workers, an expansion of foreign language ballots, same-day voter registration for 2020 presidential election, an amnesty for nearly 800,000, almost a million DACA illegal aliens, includes forcing American taxpayers to provide federal grant funding for sanctuary jurisdictions that refuse to turn over criminal illegal aliens like California to Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents for arrest and deportation, $1 billion in burn justice assistance grants to help prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus, including purchasing personal protective equipment, $1 billion. But all the rest is going to all of these foreigners who are, many are here illegally or fake refugees who came here to dominate our nation and steal our land and our country. So I'm just like, that's why I'm suspect about this whole coronavirus thing.
I am too. We've never seen anything like this. They're not doing. I'm really, really smart when it comes to the medical world and how we. I believe there's a really good way to do things, and they're not doing it the way. If this is as physically harmful as they say. And that's why they're allegedly setting up these MASH hospitals, whether they'll ever be used or not. Hopefully not. But if they are going to be used, God help us is all I can say. But they're not preparing people properly. Although I have seen a change in the newscasters since I called in and, you know, reamed them about not encouraging people to wear face masks because that's how it's spread. And I said, you know, our skin, we should be wearing, you know, long sleeves. And it can be lightweight long sleeves because it's hot here already. And all of a sudden today, the women on the news show are wearing long sleeves, whereas before
well,
it was all short
sleeves. Well, if you look at the – we got to go, but if you look at the Congress, they're all standing
mm-hmm.
next to each other.
Yes, they
Why
are.
Why aren't they home?
Yes, they are.
Why aren't they at home isolating?
Some of them are
I mean,
allegedly.
Seriously. And why are they taking taxpayer wages when they're not? They shouldn't even be working. They should be at home. They should be at home self-isolating like everybody else, not standing next to each other.
Senator Rick Scott here in Florida.
And this is a national emergency. This is a crisis. Why most of them have a net worth that's a million or more. So why do we have to taxpayer fund them when they told us to stay home and not work?
Yeah, because they don't
I mean,
have
this
to
is
worry
like
about
they but they told us to close our businesses and to stay home and not take and be unemployed. Why aren't they doing the same thing? Why are they still taking our tax dollars when we don't have the funding to pay them $200,000 each to do nothing?
And why don't they refinance the mortgage loans with a lower interest rate so that everybody gets a discount across the board on that? You know, that saves
And they
a
could
lot
be doing all
money.
This from virtual home computers, you know. They don't have to be standing next to each other and whispering in each other's ears and having lunch together and all this. They should be doing what they should be doing the same thing they're telling the country to do.
The cover of time
that's
when the
my
world
opinion.
Stops.
Yeah.
And
but anyway,
they put the brakes. I'm sorry. Go
yeah.
ahead. I know you got to go.
Oh no, I got to go. We.
You know,
yeah, but I
yeah.
really enjoyed your information, and we'll have to talk
awesome.
About your expertise on the medical profession. I'd love to hear about that. And Joe
so cool.
Salito. And you stay safe and stay healthy, and I'll talk to you soon.
Spread the word, not germs. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's it for today. That was our very special guest, Joe Salito. And hopefully she'll return again, and she'll talk to us about her experiences with the medical field, and very, very interesting and intriguing. And next week we'll have a very special guest once again, another author and expert will be here on Columbo Chronicles just for you. Stay safe, and stay healthy, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.